Hey, you guys, welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's Gina Crash, your host for the next half hour or so. I'm super excited to introduce you to my guest who is new to Odyssey Baltimore. It is Otis Rowley. He is the president and CEO of the Baltimore Development Corporation. Thank you, Otis, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Gina.
Yes, absolutely. And we've got this fancy introduction, if you want me to read this. It says, the Baltimore Development Corporation is the economic development entity for the city of Baltimore. And we're joined today by President and CEO Otis Rowley to learn about the BDC's various initiatives to grow the city's economy, including hosting the upcoming 2025 Baltimore Together Summit. Yes. I've been seeing a lot about this. And welcome, Otis. First of all, you know, to the organization, you're a couple of months in now, right, in your tour of duty, so to speak. But for those who may not be as familiar with the organization, can you start by explaining just exactly what the Baltimore Development Corporation is? It is a mouthful, BDC. And, you know, exactly what it does.
Sure. So BDC, or the Baltimore Development Corporation, is the city's economic development agency. So any business, small, medium, large-sized business that wants to grow, wants to locate in the city of Baltimore, is looking for a different site location. Literally, soup to nuts, any way that we can help to assist businesses to stay, to grow, or to attract them into the city of Baltimore, that's what we do.
Great. And then at the center of it all is Baltimore Together. So can you tell us a little bit more about what that is exactly?
Sure. So Baltimore Together is actually the name of our comprehensive economic development strategy, or SEDS is what we call it, because, you know, you have to have a million and one acronyms.
Yeah, of course you do.
But, you know, every city, town, state even, you know, has a comprehensive economic development strategy. And so for the city of Baltimore, ours is called Baltimore Together. And it's really focused in on Baltimore prospering together. It has a overarching kind of equity agenda, where it's trying to make sure that as we are moving forward in economic development work throughout the city, that we're thinking of it through from the perspective of how do you make sure all of Baltimore prospers, not just the harbor, not just downtown, not just uptown, but really looking at what are the things that we can do to really make sure that all of Baltimore actually participates in the economic renaissance that is underway. We got feedback and input from business leaders, civic leaders. Over 300 folks, you know, really contributed to the Baltimore Together strategy. And as someone new in this role, it was super great to come into the role and not have to do a new strategy, right? As you know, a lot of times a new CEO will come in and they want to kind of put their own stamp on things. But I was really pleased when I walked through the door and to see that we had such a phenomenal strategy already in place. It was really an issue of how do we make sure that we are implementing it with fidelity.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you bring with you, I know you mentioned equity, and that's a big part of your background. Maybe tell us a little bit before we go even further about kind of what led you to this job, your background to it, because everybody, I love to hear people's stories about how you ended up in this really cool role.
I'll try to do the brief version.
Yeah.
I moved to Baltimore in 1998, 2 years after the Ravens. but I moved to Baltimore in 98, right after I graduated from MIT. My concentration there was in city planning, focusing on housing, community, economic development. And Gina, I've spent the last almost 30 years in housing, community, economic development. I started off at the city working for Empower Baltimore, which, as you may remember, under the Clinton administration, there were 10 empowerment zones, $100 million went to 10 cities, and Baltimore was one of them. I was the economic development officer there. Then went to work in the Department of Housing and Community Development, the Housing Authority of Baltimore City. Then I was the first deputy commissioner there. Then went into the planning department. It was the youngest big city planner in the country at that time. Then I became a chief of staff to the mayor. I served under the Schmoke, O'Malley, and Dixon administrations in Baltimore. Left there, I led a regional nonprofit. Then had a brief lapse of judgment and ran for public office. we all made mistakes in life.
At least you gave it a shot, though.
Yes, you know?
For sure.
I had this attitude of, I wanted to fix my city, and but I learned a lot out of that process. Went into Went into a national consulting after that. I was working with large municipalities and large school districts, and I have a book in me about the similarity between superintendents and mayors that I don't know if it'll be a comedy, a tragedy, or whatever.
It'll be a good read.
It'll be a good read.
Yes.
Then I went, after consulting, I led actually the sister agency to the one I'm working in now for the city of Newark, New Jersey's largest city. I was leading their Economic Development Corporation. Got recruited from there to work for the Rockefeller Foundation.
Wow.
And it was the craziest thing. I was at a dinner and I was ripping into an executive at Rockefeller about how philanthropy doesn't get it, how they're not connected to the people, that they don't really understand deals and what needs to occur. And the more I insulted them, the more attracted they were to me. It was the craziest thing. But I ended up leading U.S. grant making for the Rockefeller Foundation.
Wow.
And then was the president of the Wells Fargo Foundation. After I left Wells Fargo, I led social impact investing for a high net worth individual, actually, David Stewart, who was the founder and chairman of Worldwide Technology. He's the wealthiest African-American in the country.
Very cool.
And while doing that, the mayor reached out and we had numerous conversations and it led me back to Baltimore. I left in 2015 from Baltimore, came back in 2020, but was still working elsewhere.
Yeah.
But it was not till this year that I decided to jump back in the pond and see how I could try to swim forward.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're back. So that's interesting, too, timing-wise. You left during the uprising, came back during a global pandemic.
Yes.
So, hey, another challenge, right?
Yes.
And we're really excited about this year's summit and where it's going to take place. And how long have you been doing this, actually, with the summit?
This will be our fourth annual summit.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
And yeah, so really excited about that. Each year has grown. We had over 800 participants last year, hoping to surpass that. And most importantly, hoping that there'll be many more new businesses and entrepreneurs and potential entrepreneurs that join us.
And this is coming up October 27th at the M&T Bank Exchange, which, if people don't know, that's the newest in the Hippodrome, Franz Marek Performing Arts Hippodrome Theater.
That's exactly right. That whole block now has the Hippodrome and then M&T Exchange. So it's a great location right there in Utah. What's awesome about it, although I'm slightly biased, is that it's not just that day, but throughout the week, we'll have
cool.
a number of different sessions. But on October 27th is the kickoff at M&T.
Oh, that's cool. And so the panels and everything, is it too late? I know we're talking in the same month that it's happening, but at this stage of the game, do you need anybody else to participate in, or do you have it all mapped out?
Yeah, no, we have it all mapped out, but we are really eager to have people register online at BaltimoreDevelopment.com or BaltimoreTogether.com. It is the best price ever. It is free $99.
Are you kidding me? If it's free, it's for me.
Yes.
Hello?
And all we ask is for people to come in to register ahead of time so that we have accurate count and we can have everyone's name tags and et cetera. But October 27th is the kickoff day. That's a half day session. And then the 28th through the 30th, we will have sessions throughout the city at different locations throughout the city, quite intentionally, because we want to show the breadth and depth of economic activity throughout Baltimore and highlight that and get lessons learned from that so we can continue to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of your speakers include Lieutenant Governor Aruna Miller and who else do you have on the agenda, too? You got some really important change makers in the area.
Yes. Augie, who's both my chair and the head of M&T Bank, will be there. Mayor Brandon Scott will be speaking. We'll have a number of business leaders, both from within Baltimore and outside of Baltimore, because I think there are really two functions in life, to teach and to learn.
Right? Yes.
And so what we can learn from other cities and bring and adapt to the uniqueness of Baltimore we want to do. Because in economic development, there's just always some new innovation happening elsewhere. And we have a number of really sharp speakers that are going to be there. LaShawn Jones, who's the co-founder of Sporty Dog Creations, will be talking about how to catalyze small business development and We have a panel just on the Baltimore music scene, right?
So
and the
cool.
economics of that, and how you know, both it's it is entertainment, but it's also business.
It is. Right?
So yeah, it's a rich cornucopia of economic development activity that we'll be talking about throughout the week.
As they say, something for everyone, right?
Exactly.
For sure. So we encourage people to definitely register on your website, baltimoredevelopment.com, or as you were saying, baltimoretogether.com has its own dedicated website. Mm-hmm. So time to toot your own horn a little bit here, Otis. We're talking to Otis Rowley, the president and CEO of Baltimore Development Corporation. What are some of the milestones that you'll be celebrating this year in 2025?
Sure. So I think one of the things that's so cool, and I know this is the nerd part of me calling this stuff cool, but it's the is that the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, Baltimore Together, is really about accountability and transparency. We have metrics that we capture that really help to talk about what we're doing and how we're doing it, so that we're being held accountable by the citizens of Baltimore, by the business leadership, so that people realize that they didn't just participate in the planning process and then it went on a shelf. And so in 2025, our partners maintained 95% overall positive progress on the metrics that we capture as it relates to our strategy, focused primarily on innovation, small business growth, workforce development, and neighborhood investment. And that's something to be really proud of.
Yeah,
right?
It's a big one. Mm-hmm.
That's particularly because, sadly, many places don't really kind of track their activity. We all get excited at the ribbon cutting. People say, it'll be 100 new jobs or 1,000 new jobs created.
Yep.
And no one ever goes back and says, did you really create 1,000 new jobs?
Yep.
Right? We're not playing that here. Right? What may have happened in the past, but not on my watch, not on Mayor Brandon Scott's watch. And so with the way we think about this is, how do we track it and report it out? And so literally every year we put out a report. That's not fluff, right? It is, again, this is the nerd part. It's not, you will open the book up and there are metrics in there, and it says where we hit it out the park, where we're doing just okay, and where we still need to grow. And I think that's the kind of accountability that a lot of citizens and business leaders, it's what's expected of business owners, right? So the agency that's supposed to be supporting them, we should put our money where our mouth is.
Yeah,
so we try to do that.
Yeah, that I see that, because that transparency is really important, you know, because
yep.
we all get better together. And we have a lot of new businesses. And I love that you're here, like, painting Baltimore in such a positive light, because there is a lot of business development,
oh,
a
yeah.
lot of new businesses coming to the area. That do you find that most of the general public may not be as aware of that as you are?
Yeah, that was part of the reason 4 years ago, you know, where they said, hold on, we've really got to start tooting our own horn. Right. It doesn't. You can do a lot of great things, but if all people are hearing about it as the negative, that's going to be counterproductive, right? And so, that was part of the reason why we thought it made a lot of sense to start doing the Baltimore Together thing. And we're seeing some great activity also out of the GBC, the Greater Baltimore Committee, that's really communicating some of the phenomenal stuff that's happening not just in the city, but in the surrounding counties. Downtown Baltimore partnership also has been really, we're all starting to realize, hold on, part of this job, and you may laugh and say, y'all didn't realize this before,
yeah.
But part of this job is marketing.
It
right?
is.
And it is communication and really making sure folks know what's happening. We've welcomed some new businesses, as you mentioned, into Baltimore. Syngene International, they are opening up their first U.S. Facility at the Bayview campus. Over 200 jobs.
Wow.
And yeah, they could have went anywhere in the U.S. of A.
They
chose Baltimore. So
yeah.
we're proud of that. Greenlight Networks has committed a $100 million investment in fiber internet infrastructure for the city. And we're seeing all kinds of really cool small businesses popping up. We have a phenomenal restaurant scene. It is my privilege and honor to test them out.
Yes, I'm glad someone's doing that.
but we're really kicking butt and taking names. So many of my colleagues and friends in D.C. Have been coming into Baltimore to eat at our various restaurants. Between the phenomenal, like, 21 restaurants coming out of the Atlas Group that are in the city and mm-hmm. in the county, we have some small ones. The only black female-owned oyster house in the country, Urban Oyster,
that's right,
is here in the city. And then one of the, I live in the Audubon neighborhood of Baltimore, and right not too far from me is the Cross Street Market. And there's a new restaurant in there, a new booth called Jollof Rice, Jollof Bowl, excuse me. They opened July 4th. I went there with my kids, and they were like, "Dad, this is so good because it's like a West African Chipotle."
Oh, right? My God, that's amazing.
And then next time we went, there's a long line.
Yeah.
Going through, somebody on TikTok went there, and it has blown up, right? Because everyone, you know, I'm happy about the success. Not so happy about waiting online.
Right, exactly.
But happy about the success. But I mention all these things because I talk about a pharmaceutical company and a small restaurant because it's just that rich gamut, right?
It is.
Of economic activity that's happening in the city. And we have to change, get more people to adopt the reality versus the perception, right? Baltimore's better. And it is so much better than it's ever been to have crime lower than it's been in our history since they were recording crime rates, right? I remember, you know, many moons ago when I first started my career, people saying, man, if we could just get crime under control, we could, you know, experience an economic renaissance. And it's not just under control.
It's happening.
If we can't get ourselves together and actually get beyond ourselves, because sometimes... And family can be like this.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
We are harder on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Shucks, you know, somebody, I'm talking to people in D.C. and in Jersey and New York, and they're bragging about Baltimore, but I'm talking to somebody in Baltimore or Baltimore County, and I almost have to fight them.
Yeah, they don't even come to the city.
Right. And I'm just like, hold on a second. Why do they see the beauty and you don't? And that's why I say sometimes we're harder on ourselves than we should be. And if we can move people, and that's why we stick so steadfastly to the metrics and the data. Because, you know, and even in today's world, truth doesn't lie, right?
It's
true. So, like, if we just hit them with the facts, my hope is that slowly but surely both Baltimoreans and folks in the county, et cetera, will start to say, hold on a second. This isn't 1991, right? you know, there is not a crack epidemic going on. Like, let's all participate because as Baltimore prospers, the counties prosper, the state prospers, and we're all in this together.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better. And Baltimore Peninsula is also like a huge, proud, like beacon of just change and variety. And there's always some, you know, cool food festival going on down there. I mean, tell us a little bit about that. I know you want to brag a little bit about that as well.
You know, when I left, it was called Port Covington.
When I came back,
it was called the Peninsula.
Yep.
But like we said, marketing matters,
it
right?
It really does.
There are 18 new businesses that have opened up recently there. Literally a week before last, I was there at a ribbon cutting for a new M&T branch there. My oldest daughter and her boyfriend do the free dance lessons out there. It is really happening.
There's always something going on.
You know, an attractive part of the city, and it's just great opportunity for continued growth. It's safe. It's clean. The restaurants are phenomenal. There's this really cool vegan bar. And you know, I'm a mass consumer of meat.
Me too.
And so I was a little hesitant, but particularly as the head of economic development, I have to be open to everything.
Yes.
And the place was phenomenal. The food was so good. And the drinks were spot on. There's a lot happening there. And I'm hoping that it continues to grow and prosper.
Yeah. And I know that equitable development, that is a mouthful, and workforce is an important component of that as well. So to kind of shed some light on that a little bit about, you know, Baltimore's majority Black-owned workforce, that's growing, and we're all in upswing in that area as well.
It's tough, right? Like, so Baltimore has a very rich history, right? Both positive and negative, right? And we can be in denial about the negative as we see some national trends around doing stuff like that. Or as I tell my kids, right, like you accept the good, you accept the bad, right? And I promise I'm not going to sing the Facts of Life theme song.
It was in my head.
You
take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and then you have the Facts of Life.
But it's so important, right, to take both in, right, so that you can be a critical thinker, right? And I mentioned that on purpose. The reason we talk about equitable economic development is Baltimore was the birthplace of redlining. Right, it's a sad part of U.S. history, but it literally started in Baltimore City, where there were literal public policy programs, laws, restrictions as well as private sector collusion to ensure that African Americans could not prosper economically, right? They could not buy homes. They couldn't do this and that. And so it's so important that if you're addressing, as you're shaping your future, that as it was intentionality to do bad, we have to be as intentional to do good, right? We have Absolutely. To be as intentional to be fair, right? And that's not just by circumstance or happenstance. It has to be intentional in what you do. And so when we say equitable economic development, that's what we mean, that we look at our policies, we look at our procedures, we look at our laws, we look at our incentives and tools and ensure that it lays out a fair and equitable playing field for all businesses that want to prosper here. I want anyone and everyone who wants to start a business in this country to say, you know what? I'm going to Baltimore. And you know why? Right? Because it's affordable to start a business there. It's affordable to live there. I'm not going broke like I would in Washington, D.C. And no shade to Washington, D.C. It's just the economy is off the chain. Right?
It is. It's crazy.
And recently there was an article that said for college graduates, they named 10 cities that were the best place for you to grow if you want to have a pathway for economic mobility, and Baltimore was on the list.
Yes.
Right? And so that's what, when we talk about equitable economic development, it is reversing the negative harm that was done intentionally, right, through public and private efforts by intentionally doing fair and equitable public policy initiatives through the work that we do. And you can't have a city like Baltimore that's 62% African American and only have 12% of the African Americans own businesses, right? Anybody who can do math says, oh, something's off there, right?
Yeah.
And whether that, if we were 62% Italian, if we were 62% Korean, it wouldn't matter, right? 62% women, it would not matter if that group only was participating at a 12%, then the city is not going to be healthy, right? And so we want to address those factors. And we've already seen some growth, both in terms of African-American labor participation. We've seen some growth in terms of African-American business participation, because if we bring those numbers up, actually the city gets healthier, right? Because the majority population is now participating in the success of the city.
That's exactly right. And oh my gosh, we're into our like final 5 minutes here. So I want to make sure, I know we mentioned, you know, the summit is going on. You've got sessions around Baltimore Together Summit, which is coming up, kicking off October 27th, but then October 28th through the 30th, you have the workshops held across the city that people can find out about. You mentioned music, you mentioned Black-owned small business and all of that. So the community who's listening right now, how can the community best participate in the Baltimore Together 2025 Summit?
So I would ask them, please, please, please go to baltimoredevelopment.com or baltimoretogether.com and register. You will see the agenda. You'll see different panels. Register for the ones that you're excited about. Register in areas that you don't know. Like our commercial district assessment, we're looking at all of our commercial districts and really trying to better understand the market there, the level of occupancy, vacancy, et cetera, so that we can build them out. Because strong commercial districts mean strong neighborhoods. You can go to either of those sites, register and participate. And I'm also super excited because this is the 10th year of Made in Baltimore.
Thank you for mentioning that. I wanted to get to that. Yes.
Yeah. This is the 10th year of Made in Baltimore. We have over 360 Baltimore-based companies, entrepreneurs, craftsmen, artisans that have participated in Made in Baltimore. And Gina, it is the coolest. I go to also madeinbaltimore.com. Please go check out the website.
Absolutely.
There's something that you've been buying off of Amazon or at Walmart that keep our dollars in the city, y'all. Like there's a way to make sure that you are putting money into the economy of a place where you live. And there's almost everything in Made in Baltimore. I've been buying stuff, including the shirt I have on right now.
Yeah, you're repping the brand right now.
Yes, yes. And we need to buy new flags, actually, for our office. And I was about to go online and do it, and I caught myself. I was like, "Ooh,
hold on a second!"
And literally, we had Made in Baltimore business that produced the flags.
You know, so great.
It's So Made in Baltimore and Baltimore Together, BDC is really excited about the economic viability of the city right now. And anybody who wants to participate, please go to our website and register. And if there's any business out there that's in Baltimore that needs help, please give us a call. And if there's anyone listening outside of Baltimore who wants to stop working in places that are not vested in your interests, come to Baltimore because we are open for business and we want to be part of your success.
Yeah, that's very welcoming because you're talking about how you can help small businesses succeed in Baltimore, not just open in Baltimore, like you say, but succeed in Baltimore.
Yeah. Do you know about 70% of Maryland's GDP, a little bit over 70% of Maryland's GDP comes from small and mid-sized businesses?
I believe it.
Get so excited about the big whales,
yes.
Right? The world almost shut down to try to get the Amazon new headquarters, right?
Yeah, right.
But if you just follow the math again, if 70 to 80% of your GDP is coming from small and mid-sized businesses, where should we be focusing our attention, our effort?
Not
all of it, but the majority of it, because just follow the money.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we love T. Rowe Price and McCormick and everybody in our area, and they have their own charitable arms as well.
And doing some phenomenal things.
They really are. But you're right. It starts with small business. Absolutely. And anything else that we haven't asked you? I know we have more to talk about than we really have time for. So is there something else that we haven't talked about yet that you want to make sure that we talk about before you hit the road?
No, just very, really pleased in the progress that we're making. As I do want to highlight, though, that when we talk about equitable economic development, the IEDC, the International Economic Development Council, actually put together a playbook on how to do it right to inform all other economic development officials around the country and around the world. And Baltimore is in the playbook.
Cool.
I'm so super proud about that and super proud about the progress that we've made. I am not delusional. I know there's much more work that needs to be done for us to be who I know we have the potential to be. But I'm excited to have the opportunity to try to do that work, particularly in this time and space in Baltimore.
Yeah, we're really excited. And we welcome everybody to participate in Baltimore Together, the summit, the kickoff at the beautiful M&T Bank Exchange, and all of the workshops around town. And they can accomplish that by going to your website, registering, giving you a heads up about how many people to expect, right?
That's right.
BaltimoreDevelopment.com, BaltimoreTogether.com. Both those places are great. And how important is social media as well? Do you have certain platforms that you use?
Yes, we're on Instagram and Facebook and obviously the World Wide Web. We're not on TikTok yet. I'm not sure whether we will be.
Right. But that's okay.
But really, yeah, we're trying to use all forms of media and social media to really communicate to our potential customer base and clients. And as I mentioned, though, you know, we've seen some of the businesses in Baltimore really expand. There's a restaurant that had been open for 10 years and got so much attention on TikTok, and now there's literally a line down the block. And so we're starting to think, okay, maybe that is an avenue we need to be communicating.
Maybe you do need TikTok.
We're excited about using all the means.
Yeah, you can do Instagram Reels as well, though. So that's almost the same thing.
That's exactly right.
Got it covered with that IG, right? And also you're on LinkedIn, and that makes total sense because we're talking about the Baltimore Development Corporation and Baltimore Together as well. In our final minutes, is there anyone you want to thank or, you know, that you just want to, you know, give everybody one last push for why they should participate
summit. I want to thank Mayor Brandon Scott for his commitment and focus on economic development and realizing how important it is to the overall success of the city and to the team who's putting together the Baltimore Together Summit. I'm here on the radio, but yeah. my staff is, in technical terms, kicking butt and taking names every day to try to make sure that we have a successful week. So I want to say a very public thank you to all of them for the work they've done and that they will be doing.
We're so excited. Again, kicking off on October 27th at the M&T Bank Exchange, and very cool discussions, I guess, throughout the week, right? That's the word I was looking for. Okay, great. It's been so nice to have you in studio, Otis Rowley. I know you don't do this kind of thing every day, but you really should, because you're a wealth of information and a perfect person to talk about Baltimore and all that we're doing well and succeeding. And we welcome small businesses to to go and get more information at BaltimoreDevelopment.com. And, you know, you will work with them and will continue to succeed with your help. BaltimoreTogether.com as well is a huge resource. Thank you so much for all you do and for taking the time to come and talk to us.
Thanks for having me, Gene. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're welcome. And thank you for listening to this production of Odyssey Baltimore.